Eli, I remember having this conversation with you back in 2009 and what it would be like with the waning seconds of a national title game, talking about Alabama winning a national championship. Now, four more after that. Here we are talking five in the last 9 years. What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is I am remarkably lucky. It means that I happen to get on board with what is arguably the greatest era in University of Alabama sports. So, you know, I was just telling somebody else this story, and it's a true story. Back in 1977, I moved to Birmingham from my home in New York to broadcast hockey when the Birmingham Bulls first came into existence.
I remember that.
Prior to my time in Nashville and with St. Louis and all, I moved to Birmingham. Well, there was a great restaurant in downtown Birmingham in those days. It's no longer with us, unfortunately. It was Michael's Restaurant.
I remember Michael's.
They served the most spectacular steer butt steak. Well, anyway, I'm in town like 2 weeks, and the maitre d', I had met him, and he was Alex Grammas's nephew. Grammas was the third base coach for the Tigers at the time, and George Grammas was the maitre d'. I come in to eat, and I'm sitting at the table by myself, and he comes over and says, "You got a second?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I'd like to introduce you to somebody." So he takes me by the hand and leads me over to this gentleman. And again, I'm 2 weeks in Alabama. I knew nothing about it. I certainly didn't know collegiate sports. I was from a pro sports background. And he takes me to this gentleman who's sitting by himself, and he introduces me. And this guy says, "Son," he says, "what brings you to Alabama?" I said, "I'm here to broadcast hockey." He said, "Hockey?" I said, "Yes, sir, they got a hockey team here now." He said, "Well, I don't know anything about professional hockey," this man said to me. He said, "but I do know this, you're going to be a better broadcaster if your team wins than if they lose." And that was my very first introduction to Shug Jerdon, who happened to be eating dinner at Michael's. But he was 1,000% correct. You know, it's you're a better broadcaster. Nobody wants to shoot the messenger. You're a better broadcaster if you have a good story to tell. And obviously, over the years, I've had some remarkable stories to tell. Makes my job a whole lot easier.
You know, it's amazing. I remember the early success for Nick Saban at Alabama. You know, you would almost attempt to put Nick Saban's name in the same sentence as Bear Bryant. Now, the bottom line is, I don't think anybody hesitates anymore.
No, I think the answer is generational. You ask a man in his 80s or his 90s, who's the greatest coach in Alabama football history, chances are that man will answer Bear Bryant, because that was the coach in his youth. In the days before cable, everybody hung on every word on radio, and that answer from an 80, 90-year-old man would probably be Coach Bryant. Ask the same question of a man your age, somebody in their 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, and the answer will be, you know, Coach Saban, because even though they may know the history of Alabama, they have lived through the Nick Saban era and all these successes. So there's no question. You're not going to go wrong answering with either of those men's names. But I think the direct answer is based on the age of the respondent.
You know, you mentioned 1977. I was 14, and before that season, Bear Bryant was on his Crystal Hamburger tour, and he comes to Huntsville. And where he was, I couldn't get to. But I call up that location. The manager, just so happens that Coach Bryant was in the manager's office. He puts Bear Bryant on the phone with me.
Really?
And he says, "Son," he says, and I just wanted to thank him for making Saturday special, you know, growing up in Alabama. He says, "Well, I'll be back at this hotel at 4 o'clock this afternoon," which was less than a mile away, a bicycle ride away.
Sure.
He says, "If you want to meet me, just I'll be there." No entourage, no handlers,
sure.
No security. It was 10 minutes with Bear Bryant and myself.
Times were different.
I bring it up because certainly now the salaries are different, expectations are different, everybody is pulling at you. It's an entire different ballgame now.
Yeah, you know, coaches just can't sit around. Doesn't matter if it's Nick Saban, doesn't matter if it's a new coach in the S, doesn't matter who it is. You know, with all the social media and stuff, you know, one mention and it's, you know, the lobby is full of folks, and it's a whole different world today.
Is it tougher for you to make a broadcast interesting knowing that, you know, a team that just wins all the time to the point where maybe during the regular season it's like almost boring in a sense as far as
no.
from or comparing that to when a team is struggling and trying to make that interesting?
No, every game stands unto itself. There are things to talk about of interest in every game. And, no, it's the wins are great. The losses, not so much. But, no, it's it doesn't get old and it doesn't get boring. I guarantee you that. Not at all.
Visiting with Eli Gold. I remember last year, and it was probably in a game. I can't remember which game it was, but there was really no doubt on the outcome. It was third quarter, fourth quarter. But I had received a email about a group of Alabama fans stationed. They couldn't even tell me where they were stationed because it was top secret. They represent our government.
They'd have to shoot you.
They represent the armed forces. But they have found a way, and I can't even tell you how it was. That's how secretive it was. But they have found a way to listen to Alabama football broadcasts, you and Phil, in the middle of nowhere at 2 o'clock in the morning.
We get emails like that all the time.
And I just want to say thank you for you and Phil to actually acknowledge them because they're from Decatur, Alabama,
right.
And you guys certainly thank them for their service.
You know, people need to remember, that's who we work for. You know, that guy in that foxhole or wherever he was in that encampment somewhere, his name may not be on the bottom line of my check, but those are the people we work for, the fans, whether it's people who can watch the game, can't watch the game, don't care to watch the game, whatever it might be, those are the people we work for. So, no, we never, ever take that for granted.
One more question before we let you go. How have you changed, you know, from that first national title we're talking about in 2009 to where you are today as far as the success on the field? How have you changed as far as the success as an announcer?
Hopefully I haven't. I hope I'm still the same nice, humble guy that I was back in when I started in 89 or when that first national title was won in 92. You know, I still try and treat everybody wonderfully. I prepare as diligently now as I do then, simply because one of my favorite sayings is, I know what I don't know. I know what I don't know. I know that I've never taken a snap under center. I know that I've never played a down of organized football. I'm going to prepare like crazy. So I know what I don't know. And I won't go on the air unprepared in 1989, and I won't go on the air unprepared in 2018.
It's always fun catching up with you.
You too, Johnny. Good to see you, man.
Thank you, Eli.
All right.